Jesus is Lord. Did you know that? Hallelujah. That ought to be on your lips day and night. It'll take you through all kinds of tight places. Amen. To just say to the circumstances, Jesus is Lord. That's what David told Goliath in so many words. I don't care how big you are. You don't know who you're dealing with here. And he took up running. Goodness. Running towards Goliath. And everybody else was running away from him. Because he knew something. He was a covenant man. Hallelujah. Ooh, glory. I tell you what, folks. We've got it made in a shame. If we just remind ourselves of it every second of the day. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We welcome you watching by social media. We trust that the Lord will, as usual, take His word and apply it in your very circumstances today. He knows exactly where you are, and He knows the solution. Receive that as He speaks to you this morning. Amen. Amen. All right. Open your Bible, book of Genesis, Genesis 40, 48. Bring you a lesson about heavenly economics. Glory to God. My. Not Wall Street economics, heavenly. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes I watch you, somebody coughs and the markets go crazy. I'm like, boy, I'm so glad I'm not based, my economics are not based on that.
Amen.
up and down, down and up and down. Jesus is our North Star. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. All right, Genesis 40. What did I say? Where am I? 40. Did I say 48? I meant to say 40. 40. Genesis 40. We'll get lessons from Scripture about biblical economics. God wants us to prosper His style. My. All right, life of Joseph. Joseph is in jail for no fault of his. And he's in there with a couple of people who served Pharaoh, the butler and the baker. Talked about this last week. The devil can't steal your joy. He can't keep your goods. My. You know, you can apply that in two ways. One way is the things that God has in store for you that haven't gotten to you yet, that He's trying to keep away from you. Huh? If you stay in faith and stay in joy, He can't keep those from you anyway, either. And then, of course, the things that you already have, let's say health. Your good health that He's trying to steal from you. If you can't get your joy, He can't do that either. If the devil can't steal your joy, He can't keep your goods. My. All right. So we talked about last week. Look at verse 8. Verse 8. And they said unto him, that is the Pharaoh's baker and butler, said unto Joseph, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. That's why we're so sad. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? My goodness. He hadn't even heard the dream yet. He just knows he can interpret it. Isn't that something? Because he's sure of his source, see. He knows that the person he's in relationship with knows about all dreams. Don't all dreams belong to God? Tell me then. I pray you, meaning I beseech you. I plead with you. Hallelujah. And so when I went over that again this past week, the Lord dropped something in my heart about about that verse. So we're going to take off from that verse. Do not interpretations belong to God? Yes, they do. But guess what? So do all other things. Huh? So does the wisdom that you have to guide that part of your life. Amen. Your finances, your health, your children, your grandchildren, your relatives, your work, your employment, your business, all of that also belongs to God. Just like He can interpret dreams, He can give you a word. One word from God can change your entire life. All else belongs to Him. So when we talk about divine prosperity, we're not just talking about money. We're also talking about things that money cannot necessarily deal with, especially if put in the wrong place. He says, do not interpretations belong to God? Of course they do. Everything else does. Everything else does. He is El Elyon, the Most High God, the All-Wise, ever-living, Almighty God. There's nothing He does not know. Nothing He cannot do. That's prosperity. That's prosperity. To know that that being I just described is your resource, is your source. To know that is prosperity. And then to know how to access it. Joseph did. Joseph said, tell me the dream. What's the problem? You have a dream you can't interpret? I'm here. Tell it to me. I'm connected with someone who knows. That's prosperity. It goes way, way beyond money. Hallelujah. Not too long ago, a billionaire, one of the brightest tech minds, died because he came down with something that medical science couldn't help him. Amen. But this person we're talking about could have helped him if he had that connection. Hallelujah. Because his name is Jehovah Rapha. Glory to God. Amen. My goodness. So prosperity in the world is just having a bunch of money. Just having a bunch of money. If you can just get more money. And then some of them get it and they're like Jesse said, money will make you comfortable while you are miserable. Amen. Here you are lying on sheets that cost $10,000 and you can't get no sleep. Tossing and turning, worrying, full of anxiety. Go to Paris, France. Get you the most expensive hotel room there is. And then commit suicide. My goodness. There is an answer, folks. His name is Jesus. Yeah. He is the Prince of Peace. He can give you peace that beggars understanding. So the world thinks just having a bunch of money. Psalm 73, look at that. Okay. God bless me to say so. Judicious use of my time here. Psalm 73, I could quote this to you, but verse 12. Psalm 73, 12. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. To them, that's what it's all about. Hence, money is the biggest motivation for most people. They will do most anything for money, including killing their mother. Some folk, But that's not us.
Amen.
We're talking about biblical economics. Okay? Look at Revelation 3. To the world, you just have money. Accumulated it. Get it all you can. Canning all you can. And sitting on the can. We can't nobody get any of it. That's life. Uh-uh. Not so. Revelation 3:17. Because you said, I am rich. I'm increased with goods. I have need of nothing. But you just don't know it. You don't know that you are actually wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Because you ain't got me. God says, I am the fountain of rich. Hallelujah. So prosperity in the world is just having a bunch of money. Prosperity in God is having a bunch of money and everything else. Glory to God. That's the difference. No, we don't leave the money out. No. Take the whole world, give me Jesus. No. The Bible didn't say that. It didn't say that. It just says you take the world, give me. No. What would you do with Jesus if you've lost the world? What for? No, you take Jesus to the world. And it takes money to do it. That's why we got to have plenty of it. Hallelujah. Prosperity in God is having a bunch of money and everything else. Every I dotted, every T crossed. And I don't know if anybody was there yet. But we ought to know that and be shooting for it. Every I dotted, every T crossed. Hallelujah. I'm talking including not just you. I'm talking to your own family. Everything about you is just, woo, glory. That's the plan. And the Bible says exactly that. Look at Proverbs chapter 10. Oh, I'll just quote that to you. You can read it. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. Huh? The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And has no sorrow. No sorrow. No sorrow. At all. No anxiety. No worries. No poverty thoughts. How long is my retirement money going to last me? Well, that's not the prosperity of the Lord. Hallelujah. So here what we've got. We've got many who are rich in goods, but not in God. And then we've got many others who are rich in God, but not in goods. Isn't that something? Oh yeah. Many rich in God can't feed themselves, the children. Not right. That is not right. Certainly one is definitely better than the other. It's better to be rich in God, not in goods, but it's not good enough. That is not good enough. Divine prosperity is being rich in God and rich in goods. Woo, glory. Rich in all the G's. In God and goods. That's what Jesus died for. He says so himself. I've come that you may have life. John 10:10. That you may have life and you may have it more abundantly. Huh? I've come that you may have life. Let's look at it. I know you know what it says, but you know, the memory of a potato never fed anybody. You know that, right? Yeah. You gotta actually eat it. Put it in your mouth and chew it. Looking at scripture is eating scripture. That's how it works. You gotta put it in front of your eyes. Never go through your ears. And not go through the other ear. Go down to your heart. John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come, however, that you may have life. That's being rich in God. Huh? That's what it's trying to say. That's what it's saying. I've come that you may have life, be rich in God, and have it more abundantly. That's being rich in goods. That's God's best. To be rich in Him and rich in goods. Hallelujah. Joseph was rich in goods right there. He's in jail, but he's about to be rich in God. Huh? In fact, well, he was rich in God. That's what I meant to say. He was rich in God, about to be rich in goods. Was he not? Oh, yeah. Huh? He was rich in God because he was very much aware of his connection with God. He knew, if they tell me that dream, I can explain it. I can interpret it. Because I know help me, Jesus. I know he who knows. He was rich in God. And it wasn't long until he was rich in goods. That's the plan, folks. Not one without the other. In the priority of reaching God and then reaching goods. That way you stay rich in goods. Whatever happens on Wall Street. Because you're on Heaven Street. Amen. Yeah. He was. Joseph was rich in God. And everyone who is rich in God ought to be rich in goods. That's the plan. Ought to be. That's why we teach on it, so folks can know it and believe it. How can they hear without a preacher or a teacher? How can they teach except to be sent? I'm sent to teach it. Ah. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Look at Deuteronomy chapter 8. Rich in God, rich in goods. That's the plan. Not one of them or the other. If you have to choose one, we'll know which one to choose. Quit talking and find it all here. We choose God. But see, it's not an either or.
Amen.
It is not an either or. This is an all of the above. Test question. All of the above. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Where shall we start, Lord? It's all good. Okay. Verse 11. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. See, in other words, make sure you stay rich in God. That's what that means. Not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command you this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, rich in goods. Amen. Has good goodly houses. Did you notice that? Not one. Houses. And dwell therein with thy herds and thy flocks. Are you getting all that? That's rich in goods. Multiply, not just add. And that silver and that gold is multiply, not just add. My goodness. I don't know how some Christians can miss this. Must have a devil deceiving them. That must be. Right, Sister Mary? must be. Oh, Lordy. And all that thou hast is multiplied. All of it. All of the good stuff. Health and peace and joy. Multiply. You wake up in the morning. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has. Glory to God. So I'm thinking, another day. That's the life. That's what Jesus died for. Beware, that then thy heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God. You see that? Stay rich in God. Stay rich in God. Stay rich. Stay full of Him. Don't get full of the stuff. Stay full of Him. And the stuff will chase you down. He says so, right? The Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein there are fiery serpents, and drought that fed you water, brought thee forth water out of the rock. My goodness. Our God can make water flow out of rock. My goodness. Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble thee, meaning he will cause you to know that he is more than enough. That you can put yourself in his hands.
Amen.
Like Shambhag used to say, you don't have any trouble. All you need is faith in God. That he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at that latter end. And thou saying in thine heart, okay, now you're getting poor in God when you start saying in your heart, instead of staying rich in Him. That my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. But oh, thou shalt remember, stay rich in Him. Stay rich in Him. Remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power. Did you notice that giveth? That's tense. Not gave thee power. Giveth. Like Fred Price used to say. Present tense, continuous, ad infinitum. This goes on forever. Dakota. KC Price. Glory, glory to God. We have had some good teachers. Amen. Some great teachers. Hallelujah. For it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth. If He didn't want you to have wealth, He wouldn't be giving you power to get it now, would He? Think of it. As long as you're rich in Him. Joseph was rich in Him. And he was about to get rich in goods. Hallelujah. In his case, it was like that overnight. In this ex-public housing tenant, it didn't come overnight, but it came. It came. And it's coming. And it's going to keep coming. Glory to God. Give it the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto your fathers. You see, so now it tells you what the reason for the wealth is. After you bought the houses of your dreams, and you bought the cars of your dreams, all of that, there's a reason for the wealth. We got to get this covenant now. Yes. Others got to know.
Amen.
Other folks got to know.
Yes.
Hallelujah. That's rich in God. Stay rich in God and get rich in goods. Hallelujah. And so, you remember the Lord your God, you're rich in God. He gives you power to get wealth, you're rich in goods, so that he can then use the riches he gave you so others can find out about him. That's the plan.
Amen.
That's the plan. That's the plan. So here's the definition of divine prosperity. Divine prosperity is being able to access the resources of God. Joseph did. Joseph was confident. If they told him the dream, he would give them interpretation because he knew he could access God's wisdom. See? Amen. Goes way beyond money. Hallelujah. When you don't know what to do and you can't buy a solution. Huh? What do you do then? Whoo, glory. His name is wisdom. Divine prosperity is being able to access the resources of God to solve any challenges. Hmm. any challenges of life, and therefore to have life and have it more abundantly. Mm-hmm. Any challenge. Not just monetary challenges. Huh? Peace. What if you're in depression? And you know, there are some rich folks who are have bouts of depression. And they go off and go buy something to make themselves happy. Doesn't do it. Let's go on vacation right now. That don't do it. Huh? Because they're not rich in God. They're not rich in God. And we who are rich in God have a great foundation. Hmm? To then get rich in goods and keep them in perspective. And be a blessing. That's the plan. That's the plan. Hallelujah. Okay, let's do that. Yes, exactly. What does it mean to be rich in God? Here it is. Look at, we have a first covenant example, Psalm 112. I said first covenant in the, my father in the faith, Brother Copeland, says first covenant. I like that because the idea, when people say the old covenant, psychologically thinking this is done with. No. Certain things that are still relevant. So I like the term first covenant and second covenant instead of old covenant and new covenant. What did I say? Psalm 112. That's a picture, if you want to know what rich means, that's a picture of rich. Rich in God, that is. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, see how it begins? The devil can't seal your joy. He can't keep your goods. Praise ye the Lord. Bless. Woo, glory. He's a man. They are fearing the Lord. What does that mean? He's rich in God. That's where it starts. Prosperity, divine prosperity, starts with being rich in God. Before we get to the goods part. He delights greatly in his commandments. His seed, okay, now we're talking about family, not just you, shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Amen. Wealth and riches, what's the difference? Wealth talks about income generating assets. Riches, we're talking about liquidity. You know, just because somebody's a billionaire doesn't mean they have $1 billion in cash somewhere. Oh no. It's in gold, in stocks and bonds, and that's in assets. Not in cash. If they have to have cash, they can liquidate some stuff and you know. That's wealth. Wealth and riches are in this person's house. This person who greatly delights in the Lord. Actually, they go together. That's a combo. You know, two-piece combo. That's a combo. Amen. Folks who delight greatly in the Lord should have wealth and riches in their house. It should. That's the way it should be. Wealth and riches shall be in his house without lacking righteousness. You see that's the plan. And his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright ariseth light. What does that mean? That's a part of prosperity. The ability to get answers to situations. That's light. Huh? Situations that some ungodly rich person might have no idea about. But you do, because you are operating rich in God. You have light. You have revelation about the situation. But what to do? Hallelujah. That's light. We're not talking about just light like sun. Huh? Unto the upright, arrested light in darkness. That is darkness meaning you don't know what to do. You're stumped.
Don't know what to do. Don't know where to turn. You have caught everybody, pressed every button. Nothing is moving or changing. But you can say, Jesus, what should I do about this? It's like that, he'll tell you. I've told you before, when you ask him a question, get ready for the answer. Huh?
Amen.
Don't get in this religious idea that you're seeking the Lord and seeking the Lord and seek. The Lord is not lost. I came straight from heaven. I came right from heaven. He's not lost. If anybody's lost, it's you or me. Seeking the Lord and seeking the Lord. No, no. You go back and you find he probably told you something to do. You haven't done it yet, gone it yet, said it yet, been it yet. Amen. You can say amen or say oh me, either way. You know I'm telling the truth. He is not lost. He is not lost. He came to seek and save that which was lost. That was us. Woo! Light comes in the darkness. This man is gracious, he's full of compassion, he's righteous, he's a good man. You see, are you saying that this is what it means to be rich in God? Not just money. We already talked about the money part, wealth and riches. But it's not just that. He's all these other things as well.
Amen.
And he's so loaded that he lends. You see that? Verse 5. Hallelujah. You know that scripture? Okay. We'll just flow. We'll flow. Put your finger there, we'll come back. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Lendeth. I read that and this popped in my mind, so. The Lord is talking to me. See, that's how he talks to you. When scriptures pop in your mind, that's him trying to grab your attention. He said, now God doesn't talk to me. Of course he does. You just haven't been listening. My. Thank you, Father. What did I say? Deuteronomy 8. See, I think it's 28. I saw something there some time ago, and I would like to share it with you. All right, Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28, verse 12. The Lord shall open unto you his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in this season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. Work. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. Did you notice that it's talked about lending first before it talked about not borrowing? Over here in verse 5, this man has wealth and riches. So, I'm back in Psalm. I'm not done with Psalm yet. I've been going back and forth. Are you following? Are you in the spirit to follow? A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He has wealth and riches in his house. Over here in Deuteronomy, it says, thou shalt lend unto many, and thou shalt not borrow. Okay, so there's been more emphasis on not borrowing than on lending, right? But the scripture says you shall lend unto many and not borrow. It says you do both of those. Thou shalt lend unto many nations, thou shalt not borrow. If you're not in a place where you're lending, Okay, how shall I say this? Help me, Lord. If you're going to concentrate on not borrowing, then why aren't you concentrating on the not lending part, on the lending part? In other words, if it is a sin to borrow, it's a sin not to lend. Are you getting this? If you can't borrow, then you should be lending. Are you getting that? In other words, these are two parts of the same verse. What he's saying is you get to the point where you are lending and therefore not borrowing. But I think in some cases we have jumped the lending part and we've concentrated on don't borrow. Nobody's telling you lend. Because folks don't have to lend. Are you getting this right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It's the same verse. It's a progression. If you do what I'm telling you, you get to a point where you have so much that you are actually lending and not borrowing. Now, I'm not telling you just go up and go crazy and borrow, you know. Well, if you do go crazy, then they'll check you out after a while. I know, because I've had... Jesus. I've had to buy a Coca-Cola, for goodness sakes, with a credit card, and they didn't give it back to me. They said, "Man, we can't give it back. We can't give it back to you." I'm like, I wanted to make you see me that I knew better. Because I hadn't paid for a while. This was at the airport. Toss the alcohol over. Go to the airport, get thirsty. I'll buy Coca-Cola. That's my regular express card. Goes back there and comes back and says, sorry, we can't give it back to you. Well, guess what? I didn't get the Coca-Cola either. But I'm here to tell you them days are gone forever. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Because I grew rich in God and got me some goods. Amen. So I wanted to show you that when I read over here where it says, a good man lendeth. Okay? That's as much as what we're supposed to do as not borrowing. And it's a progression. We get to a point where we're so loaded that borrow doesn't even come in the picture. Amen. Okay, so go back now to Psalm 111. I didn't plan on going this so long, but I'm doing my best to flow. All right, so Psalm 112. This is a picture of a rich man in God, who's rich in God and rich in goods. So every time your mind wanders about, what does it mean to be rich in God? You come read this verse, this chapter, and it'll straighten you out. It will straighten you out. It will straighten you out. Yeah. Wealth and riches are in his house. That means you don't have dilapidated furniture, you know, stuff like that. And his righteousness is a good man. He lends. He guides his affairs with discretion. This man has good judgment. That's a part of prosperity. Amen. To have good judgment. Be a good judge of character. That's a part of prosperity. So you don't mess around with fools. Folks who don't know God, don't want to know God. Look at verse 7, Psalm 112. This man, this rich, righteous, good, gracious man, is not bothered by fear either. That's part of prosperity. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings because he's got the answer. It's like David running to Goliath. I don't care who you think you are. I'm a child of Almighty God. I've got a covenant and you don't. I don't care how big you are, how big your sword is, your shield is. I'll take you. In fact, I'm about to do so. I'm going to feed you, your carcass, and the carcasses of the Philistines to the birds of the air. See, that's a man who knows, who is rich in God. He knows his connection to him. He knows what he's capable of doing. Hallelujah. So he's not afraid when some evil tidings come along. Doesn't start shaking and say, oh, I'm going to do that. No, no, no. We just turn. Jesus?
Hallelujah. This is rich. Shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed. My goodness. Trusting in the Lord. Amen.
It's fixed. No wavering, waffling, back and forth.
His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he sees his desire for his enemies.
Enemies, not talking about people, talking about the curse.
Verse 9, he has dispersed. This man is a giver.
You can't be rich in God, not be a giver.
Oh, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
There are two ways to give in God. The tithe, yeah, that word. And the offering. This is how you get that confident. Amen. Be so established. Because you know the devourer cannot devour you. Cannot. Cannot. Unless God's a liar. And he's not. It's established. He has dispersed. He has given to the poor. And his righteousness endures forever. He has a legacy. Oh, glory to God. Has a legacy. His relatives, you know, may encounter, you know, fake Christians. But they know Auntie so-and-so. Aunt so-and-so. Huh? Uncle so-and-so, he's a real deal. I know he's a real deal. I know she's a real deal. There may be other pretend Christians, but, you know. Huh? Because you have a legacy. Amen. And your relatives could come up with you, and they can't deny. They can't say all Christians are, you know, what's the word? All Christians are hypocrites.
No, they know there's not one person in that in their family. That's not.
Hallelujah. My goodness. That's part of prosperity. And when trouble comes, guess who they call? They call you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's rich in God. Now, that's the Old Covenant chapter of what it means to be rich in God so that you can be rich in goods. Joseph was rich in God. And it wasn't long until he became rich in goods. Became deputy pharaoh. My goodness. Now, here's the New Testament version of rich in God. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 8. Let's do 9, chapter 9. 2 Corinthians 9. 8 is good too, but let's do 9. And piggybacking for what I just said, this passage begins with giving. But this, verse 6, 2 Corinthians 9, 6, but this I say unto you, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. Folks who are rich in God don't sow sparingly. What does it mean to sow sparingly? To do other than what God told you to do. Amen. I've been places, times, when I wanted to give more than he told me to do, so I did what he said. And then, of course, later, he told me what to do, and I was thinking, oh. Amen. But you got to obey that, too. That's giving, bountifully. And as you do that, you also reap sparingly or bountifully. Every man. According to his purpose in his heart. Let's talk about the offering here. Because he already told you what the tithe is. Let him give, not grudgingly, of necessity. God loves a cheerful giver. Here it comes. And God. This is the definition of rich in God. God is able to make all grace. His favor abound. Man, not trickle towards you. Abound toward you so that you always have it all My goodness. Those three words packed together like that. Always have an awe. I don't know anybody who is there. Always have an awe. Sufficiency in all things. My goodness. That's his plan. And then notice what happens when you have all sufficiency in all things. You then are able to abound to every good. Every time I read that, I think about the, every now and then they have that cancer telethon they do on television. Think about picking up the phone and say, hey, Pastor Shin over here, I'd like to donate $1 million to that. Man. Think of that. Either personally or on behalf of the church. Imagine that. Folks, that's preaching the gospel. For folks will hear it loud and clear. Huh? Instead of Mickey Mousing. Because that's what gets their attention. They've been accusing us of being money hungry. What if a church wrote $1 million check to help cure cancer? You'd have to shut their mouth up. They'd have to shut up.
Yeah.
They'd have to shut up. And I'm not so making that up. He said that here. That's what it means. That's part of what it means to abound to every good work. Is that a good work to donate $1 million to help heal cancer? That's a good work, isn't it? Oh, yeah. But we ain't got it. That's why we can't do it. For now, at least, you just hang around. Just hang around. Glory to God. Man. As it's written, he has his burst of prophecy. Did you notice that that's a quote from Psalm 112? That's exactly, this is what this passage is connected. That quote is lifted right off what we just read. Psalm 112. So this is rich in God in the New Testament, in the New Covenant. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, huh? His righteousness remains forever. As a legacy, just like we just talked about. Ah. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, that's God, ministers bread to your food, and multiply, we read that earlier, multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Huh? Being enriched in everything to all. My goodness. Bountifulness. Rich in God, rich in goods. And here's the part. Here's the part of that $1 million check to heal cancer comes to play. Which causes through us thanksgiving to God. You get the ungodly saying there must be a God in heaven. Amen. Causes through us thanksgiving to God. How? Because we are rich in God and rich in goods. And use it for the gospel. Joseph was rich in God. He knew he could interpret those dreams. And he did. In fact, he told the butler, when you go back, Boga to Pharaoh's palace, don't forget about me. He forgot. 2 years later. So I was reading this and I leave. I said, Lord, 2 years, Lord. Why did Joseph have to sit there for 2 more years? Oh, he gave an answer. He said, the secret things belong to the Lord. That was none of your business. I said, okay, Lord. One of these days, I might know that. But yeah, for now, that's good. Yeah. 2 more years until Pharaoh, too, had a dream. See, God had to work over there. Pharaoh
couldn't interpret it, and then the body, oh yeah, Pharaoh, I met a guy in jail. Oh man.
Amen, amen, amen. Do I have any time left? Rich in God, rich in goods, guys. It's not one or the other. Amen?
Amen.
It's not one or the other. Rich in good, rich in God, rich in goods. Hallelujah. It's a two-punch combination that knocks the devil cold. It knocks him out cold. Well, you can count to a million, he's still down. He ain't getting up. Better than a Muhammad Ali punch or Mike Tyson punch. Rich in God, rich in goods. Man. It's the one thing the devil's afraid of, it's a loaded Christian. Huh? Yeah, you can go to church all you want, pray in tongues all you want. If you ain't got a penny to do much with, he's not threatened. Nobody might know your God. That's why he came against Job. Job was loaded. He was rich in God and rich in goods. They would say, oh, we got to make him poor. And after that little 9-month thing, Job ended up more loaded than ever. Amen. He's threatened by believers who love God and have a dollar or two in their pocket. Devil doesn't like that at all. At all. Because first of all, that's $1 or $2 he can't use to entice other people to follow him. That's his bait. His only bait. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Well, I got 7 minutes. I'm going to use it. Thank you, Father. You are the salt of the earth. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Talk about not frustrating grace, the grace of God. The grace of God is his willingness to treat you like Jesus. Oh my goodness. As if sin didn't exist. My. Most profoundly defined as God's unmerited favor. He just loves you and he can't help himself. Hallelujah. And we talked about not frustrating grace. That is not applying to grace faith in order to receive what grace has made available. By grace are we saved through faith. Even without faith, even salvation would be unreachable, untenable. But we can access salvation that has been made available by the grace of God through faith. Likewise, can we access health that's available through faith, peace of mind, family cohesion, financial prosperity, all available by the grace of God. And when we don't exercise our faith to receive that which grace has given, grace is frustrated. If you're a giver, you know that. When you want to give something to a loved one, a friend, and they won't take it, you're frustrated. When you want them to have it. Amen. Hallelujah. And so that's one part of it. The other part, of course, is we began to talk about this last week. And in the next 5 minutes, I'm going to say somebody, and then we'll quit. Matthew chapter 5. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Verse 13, he says, ye are the salt of the earth. Man, how many times have we read that scripture and not really stopped and thought about it? meditating what it means. You are the salt of the earth. You are a difference maker. Huh? You are an influencer. Remember, you know, the internet, all those people who are charismatic, do a few things and become influence everybody. You are an influencer. You are missed, just like salt can be missed if it's not in an item. You are the salt of the earth. My goodness. He said it, I didn't say it. You are a preservative, preserving the best of flavors, the best of tastes. You have to start thinking about yourself that way. John chapter 3 verse 8, when Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. He wasn't talking just about going to heaven, about you can't afford to miss heaven. He was talking about being born again so that you can enhance your potential to do good on the earth. Huh? You have to be connected to God, like I've said before. You have to be so heavenly minded that you are of much earthly good. That's the part of what he meant. What he talked about going to heaven. If that was the case, the moment you got born again, you'd have your private rapture and go to heaven. And we have that connection. And so if we don't use that connection to be the difference, to be the salt that we're supposed to be, we are frustrating the grace of God. That's my point. That's another part. Another way we can frustrate the grace of God. It's like we have all this power, this resource, and we've damned it up. Walking around your neighborhood full of power. Nobody benefiting from it. That's frustration to grace. It's kind of like, what's the use? What's the use of me being in you? Nobody knows about it. Huh? What's the point? Frustrated to grace. I'm endeavoring to get you to change your thinking about who you are. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17, the Bible says you are a new creature. That's something else we haven't meditated much about. You are a new creature. You are a new species of being. You're not an ordinary human being. Not with Jesus in you. Huh? He lives in you. That makes you superhuman. Supernatural. New species of being that didn't exist before. A whole class of being. You know, naturally, natural races are distinguishable by skin color. And I started thinking about it, how much we are tied to color, right? Color of skin. If that's not it, folks who have the same color of skin, now we'll go to color of the eyeballs, blue eyes. Oh, then we'll go to color of hair, blonde, all that. So enamored by color of skin. Of course, almost everybody has black skin, including black people. Can I get a witness? It's the truth. It's absolutely the truth. The devil has done a number on that matter. And yet, black is the master color. Huh? It's the color that goes with every other color. My goodness. I mean, across, I'm just thinking about all over the place now. Naturally speaking, did you know that spiritually we are a race of human beings
all of us that name the name of Jesus. And what distinguishes us is the anointing on us, in us, and around us. Ah, my goodness. But of course, too often, we are still living so much in the natural. Like Dr. King said, 11 o'clock Sunday morning is still the most segregated hour. That's frustrating, frustrating to grace. Frustrating to grace. Jesus said, they will know that you are my disciples by the love they have for one another. And in that one day, that one hour where we come together, supposed to come together to worship Him, what counts more is the color of our skin. Frustrating to grace. What else do I have to do? Ah, Lord Jesus. We're going to change our minds. We're going to change our minds. We're going to change our minds by how we think. What's heaven going to be like, you think? Hallelujah. I'm talking about when we come down here on earth. Oh, my time's up. Did you know there are going to be two classes of beings on this earth during the millennial reign of Jesus? Those of us who were raptured and those who didn't, who took the mark, all that. And did you know they're going to be looking at us and say, oh, I wish I were one of those. Not by the color of our skin, but by the anointing on us. I believe it will be just as visible as color of skin is now. Hallelujah. Frustrating the grace of God. Not living to our potential. Let's not do that. Let's begin to be more aware of who we are. So that the Lord can have His way with us and through us to enrich the lives of others. Amen. 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 Father, we thank You. We praise You. We bless You. We're grateful for Your grace, Your favor toward us, Your disposition of favor toward us. We don't understand all of it, or maybe much of it, but we're thankful for that, that we know that You love us. You love us. You love us so much. You gave Your only begotten Son to die on the cross. The death of a common criminal, in order that we might have a chance at redemption. And those of us who have been redeemed, we want, Father, to, and that's Your plan, to let Your grace flow through us to touch others. That we're not frustrating the plan of redemption. We praise You, Father, for further insights and revelation about this matter. We are more aware of our mission on this earth. We are ambassadors. We come from another place. We are a species of being that's different from an ordinary human being. If we want to comport ourselves in like manner, to think and live like that we might serve our purposes for the kingdom of God. Thank You for Your help. In the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. Friend, do you know Him? You can. Today. He's done the hard part. And so if you're ready, I'm ready to pray with you. You've waited and waited and waited. I'm waiting longer. Today's the day. Say, Jesus, come into my heart.
Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I receive you now. Thank you for filling me with your Holy Spirit. I receive my prayer language. Thank you for leading me to a church that will teach me how to live a victorious Christian life. I receive healing for my body. I receive restoration for my family. I receive guidance and your wisdom for the rest of my life on this earth. I will be salt. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that, my friend, he did exactly what he promised. And he's going to begin to guide you and lead you. And just follow him. That's all you have to do. Follow him. Don't follow some Christian or any Christian. Follow him. Amen. And then he will guide you through life. You will never regret it. None of us has regretted ever being becoming a Christian. If you live in the Austin area, come see us. There's plenty of room here for you. If not, keep watching. And because we'll be back here sometime next week. We love you. Amen. Glory to God.